Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
And I'm Petri.
And this is actually the first channel This Week on Channel 9 of 2017.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was on the last one, I think, too.
Yeah, probably.
And the first one.
No, the last one was with different hosts, but whatever. It's been a while and a lot of things happened. And first thing that happened actually last week was CES, and it's a big way to start a new year.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool tech on the floor.
Yeah, there was a lot of IoT devices. There
was IoT was everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course, fridges and, you know, washing machines and everything.
Yeah, and everything is connected and you can, I don't know, do crazy things you couldn't imagine before, or you could imagine but wouldn't do probably.
Because of tech.
Now you're going to do it.
Because now we have cool tech.
Exactly. So there were crazy machines like 21-inch curved display machines.
That's my
like
favorite.
Laptops,
the Predator. Yeah. It was from Acer. 21-inch curved screen, probably this thick and you know heavy, $9,000-ish. But I still want it. Like I have an Alienware here. This is like that computer compared to the other one. That's crazy.
Yeah, and they also I don't remember the company. I believe it was Razer. They presented like three-screen monitor. Can you imagine that three-screen monitor?
Yeah, can
like
you imagine
this screen and then two more? This is ridiculous. And they all like had these high-end NVIDIA GPUs, all like cool specs.
Yeah, the Predator was running two 1080s in SLI on a laptop.
Yeah, and also TV 8K was everywhere. Yeah, 4K is old. Now it's
I don't
it's
have
cool
4K
to have
at
a 8K
yet,
TV,
I get it.
And TV actually TVs were like this thing. They were really thing, and you can put them on the wall. Like if you were in the I don't know probably in the middle of the forest and you didn't and you were not following CES, you probably should do it now. Yes. Now, one of the biggest thing for me at CES was VR, and specifically Windows holographic headsets. We promised very multiple times that our partners will start manufacturing Windows holographic headsets, and CES was the first time when we were actually showing them to media.
Yeah.
And it was Dell, HP, Acer, Lenovo, and 3G. They were positioning these headsets as not that expensive as high-end headsets we have today from Vive and Oculus, both HTC and Oculus. But they will work with the PC. They will use the power of the PC, and they will provide like a great experience in VR.
Yeah, it's going to make it easier for people to get into VR with kind of today's hardware. Without investing a lot in these super high-end computers.
Yeah, it's all coming. As you remember, we will start distributing our developer kits during the GDC, Game Developer Conference, and it's actually going to be the first week of March. And then where developers who applied to our program will start like trying the devices and developing VR experiences.
Yeah.
Cool. Looking forward to it. And for doing this, actually, you need the Windows 10 Creators Update. This is where Windows Holographic will be like.
We announced the Creators Update now before Christmas, like in November or was it
I don't
October,
remember the actual date.
Somewhere around there. And we introduced a lot of new cool things. And this is the day where you can actually go in and learn how to actually leverage some of these features in your own applications, on the platform.
Yeah. Saying this day, you mean Windows Developer Day.
Yes.
It's an event on February 8th when we'll be streaming like an online sort of conference. It's not quite a conference because there will be no attendees, right? It's just an online event. And Windows speakers will provide all the updates about Creators Update APIs.
Yeah, and you can just go into the website today and you know, sign up for it.
Yeah, RSVP, yeah. Basically. Cool, and our team is obviously preparing some stuff for this.
Of course.
Make sure you watch.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Switching gears, as Steven Guggenheimer likes to say, Microsoft SQL Server. This year, actually last year, 2016, was a big year, surprisingly, was a big year for SQL Server. And people spotted the fact that SQL Server kind of started growing. Its share started growing, people started using it. It has already a big share, but it started being popular with the community.
Yeah, and what do you think this happened?
Probably first, it kind of got new version, new tools. We also made the Linux version available, so that's why kind of it got a new audience, new developer audience, new users, and obviously also got some attention to it, and people just start looking back at SQL and seeing that it's a good database, it's performant, it's powerful, it has all kinds of features.
Yeah.
So that's probably was
a good contributor.
Yeah. Good contribution. So if you are a database developer, if you would like to use SQL Server, there is a great Visual Studio Toolbox episode talking about SQL Server extension for Visual Studio Code, because Visual Studio Code is a good thing. It's a good multi-platform. I wouldn't say IDE, more like a code editor. Yeah. Right? They didn't become IDE yet, and hopefully it will not become like a heavy product.
Yeah, and this episode here is part of the Toolbox series, which is basically, I think, is around 50 minutes or something.
50 minutes, quite a long time.
Yeah, on how to get going with this stuff. So I really recommend you to take a look at it if you're into this database things that I think most people are, in, mm-hmm. in the development world right now. So
yeah, and talking about developers, actually, Scott Hanselman, as usual, made a great post about what you should know about .NET if you are already in 2017 and not in 2016, right?
Yeah, and this includes like everything from the basics, from like what is the .NET framework, what is .NET Core. There's some differences and what is Mono for Xamarin, mm-hmm. and what's all these different boxes inside of these branches and so on. So. And also it goes into details on the different technologies in .NET as well. So it's good to take a look at it if you're kind of wondering what's happening in the .NET world. It's a really big space. There's a huge set of tools there for you, so it's kind of hard to pay attention to everything. So this kind of puts you on the map, and it can also help you find out what part of .NET really you should care for, depending on kind of what kind
Excellent.
Of developers you're doing.
I should probably read it too. Cool. And if you're a developer and you're also using all kinds of Microsoft tools and you want to try different technologies, there is a best way to do that. Instead of installing it all by yourself and spending time, you can download the virtual machine and try it on the virtual machine. It gives you not just the operating system, but also a bunch of tools installed.
Yeah.
So you don't spend time installing them, right? You can try. You can see if the technology is good for you, or that technology is good for you, or if you want to try a certain set of samples, again, instead of building them by yourself, you can just use this virtual machine, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's great for having an isolated environment to do development in, and two, to test it out, like Vlad mentioned. You can either use a Windows Pro key that you have,
mm-hmm.
or you can use an evaluation key that kind of expires after, I don't know how long,
yeah,
but
sometime.
And it enables you to just test it out, try it out, test if the environment is kind of how you want it to. And it comes with Visual Studio Community. You can install, of course, install your own stuff there as well. So
In fact, this particular version, the latest version of these virtual machines, will expire in April.
Yeah.
So that's quite a long time to try out things.
Exactly.
Cool. Next thing is about Sarah Ford, who's back with new Git. Tip series.
Yeah,
what is this about?
Yeah, she's decided to kind of get back to Git and get mm-hmm. better with it, and she wants to give us a tip every day for a year on different stuff about using Git and GitHub in general in your products. The cool thing about this is that she's going to gather a lot of tips on her blog. So she's going to end up with this ultimate guide again, where she's having like the top 20 tips. And top 20 is pretty good if you're having like a year of different mm-hmm. tips. If you can get the top 20 tips there, I think there's going to be a really cool, a good learning series for her.
So like a Git exercise every day, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a real exercise every day, which is probably even better, I would say. Yeah, trust me, that's better. Bing helps you there. So to make your New Year resolutions happen, like if you have one in the physical space.
I know my gym is full, yeah. So I'm...
Bing can help you, so you can just search for exercises and they present different kinds of exercises in a good way, in a proper way, so you can see and try them and learn, right?
Yeah.
And they encourage you, they actually encourage you doing this, so...
Yeah, if you have some spare time, you can, you know, in your office or wherever you are, you can just try one of these search experiences on Bing and get
learn
fit at
Git
the
on the same time, you know, you have two hands and then you can switch them.
So I don't have much here, but
it's all good.
That's another story.
Excellent. It's that time of the show. Peaks of the week. And yours goes first.
My peak of the week is on AI.
What?
Microsoft Research, they actually released, I think, 100,000 questions, made it open. So it can be used in AI solutions. And the cool thing about this is that, one, it helps you if you're building AI solutions, but it also helps kind of the general field to go towards how computers think, how machines can act like humans in one way. And the cool thing about this is that in Norway, we had an artist who actually used this to create a song. Ooh. So he used AI analytics to go through a lot of Christmas songs, if I got the story right, you got to go through a lot of Christmas songs to make a new Christmas song. And then, of course, he added his personal touch to it, but he used computers to aid him in creating this song. So it's kind of cool. And he was part of the Norwegian talent show. I believe they have this talent show here in America as well, I'm sure.
Excellent. So if you want to build a system that passes a Turing test, you want to use this data set. I can't imagine asking 100,000 questions or answering them. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
My peak of the week, it's actually also about AI. And I already mentioned this computational network toolkit multiple times. And you probably remember that we rebranded this thing to Cognitive Toolkit a while ago. And it's open source, and it's a very powerful toolkit that supports different kinds of AI tasks, different kinds of neural network-based approaches, and it also supports distributed GPUs computation, and it's really good by tests. So what this particular thing is about is that James made a blog post about how to get started with it, because it's not easy to get started with these kind of things. And if you want to, then go ahead, please read it and make cool AI.
Yeah, it's a cool tool, and it's like a command-based tool, I think, that enables you to do like regular or deep neural network analysis.
Yeah, first of all, it's a library, so you can even like incorporate it in your application.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want, because it's open source, and it's multi-platform, by the way, not just Windows. Excellent. So this is what this week and last week were about, and thank you for being with us. Learn some stuff, do exercises.
Yeah.
And have fun.
Thank you.
Bye.